Good morning. Welcome to our worship service at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you're young or old, whether you're here for the first time or you're a regular, you're welcome. This is our service together, and we're glad to be together in this place. We have some announcements that are in your bulletin, and we urge you to take a look at those announcements. I believe that Carrie also has an announcement to make.
Just a few announcements about our renewal time. The Muslim students will not be coming next Sunday. That service has been moved to September 16th, so they're still coming. We just had to bump it back a little later because it worked better for their schedules. So our next renewal event will be August 17th. It's a Friday at noon, and that will be the service at the Islamic Center of Rochester. They worship on Fridays at noon, and we're going to meet there at the Islamic Center, which is over on Westfall Road. And then the next event is shortly after that, 2 days later, on the 19th, is when we will have our meal at the Sabra restaurant. There is a sign-up sheet on the kiosk for anyone that wants to go, because we will need to give them a head count so they can prepare the food appropriately. We're still trying to finalize the menu, but we estimate the cost of the meal will be about $20 a person. And then there's also a sign-up sheet for the other meal, the Mediterranean meal at Evie Restaurant, which is also on the kiosk if you want to sign up for that one while you're signing up for the Sabra one. But that event won't happen until September 9th, so we have a little more time for that one. Thank you.
Are there other announcements that need to be made? We have a sad news to share with the congregation. Judy Glukowski passed away yesterday morning. We don't have any idea about services or details or anything like that, but we'll let the church know as soon as we learn things. Also, in your pew racks is the hospitality register, which you're invited to sign and pass along to others in the pew during the offering. Last week, there were several comments about the slideshow that we had sort of going. We had technical difficulties, so it wasn't everything we thought it might be. But I really appreciate all those comments, and they were very good. However, I've got my own thoughts about going through it now, and it takes a lot of time to put that together, and I'm only here part-time, and so I think unless there is a real need to have a visual, I'm just not going to do it unless I get really excited about something or just really feel the need to do that, because it does take a lot of time, and I just need to be doing other kinds of things. So we're gonna. If you miss that, you can also put something down. I don't know. So we really appreciate your comments, and do pass that register around, and greet the people who are sitting in the pew beside you. Let us still our hearts and center our souls as we listen to the prelude and prepare ourselves for worship.
Stand and join me in the call to worship. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. The God who gave us Jesus Christ will give us all that we really need. Let us worship God.
Let us confess our sins, trusting in God's promised mercy. We confess to you, O Lord, our doubts and fears. We know things do work out for those who love you, but we are afraid to trust like that. We don't see how you can be much help in the troubles that face us. But you have promised to be for us a refuge and strength. We run in panic to other things that only enslave us. But you are the strong one who enfolds us in love and arms us with courage. Forgive our foolishness and renew our trust in you. Who will bring any charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who justifies. Who would dare to condemn? This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
how God gives us good gifts. Were you here when we talked about good gifts? How God made creation for us and how he loves us so much. So today in our scripture reading, it says, nothing can separate us from God's love. I know I have friends, and you have friends, and you have friends, and sometimes we can do things to make our friends unhappy with us, and they might not want to be our friends anymore. And it takes a lot of work to get that to be made right. But God, it doesn't matter what we do. God loves us. So in the verse today, it has a lot of enormous words. So no matter what, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, those are huge words. So let's break that down. Tribulation means hard times. Have you had a hard time? I had a hard time this morning getting out of bed. But God loves me anyway. And persecution, have you had people pick on you? Yeah. So no matter what kind of picking on you people do, God still loves you. And another one that made me sort of giggle was that it said, even nakedness cannot separate you from God. So it doesn't matter if you have clothes on or if you don't have clothes on or what kind of clothes you're wearing, if you're wearing fancy clothes or sloppy clothes or if you've been jumping in a mud puddle, God loves you anyway. And then it says a whole bunch of other things that will not separate you from God. Anything that's already happened, God loves you anyway. Anything that happens right now, God loves you anyway. Anything that's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, God loves you anyway. How cool is that? So, will you pray with me and thank God for loving us anyway? Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus, who showed us so much love while he was here on earth. Thank you for loving us, no matter how amazing or awful we are. And no matter what is happening around us, help us to believe that you love us all the time, no matter what. Amen.
Continue our stories about King David, and this time we're turning to 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning to read with verse 1. David has become the king, and the war with the Philistines is paused, and things look pretty good for David right now. So we read, "Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, 'See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of the Lord stays in a tent.' Nathan said to the king, 'Go do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you.' But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, 'Go and tell my servant David, Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with the rod such as mortals use, but I will not take my steadfast love from him. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great time to come. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have wrought all this greatness to your servant. Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is no one like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. This ends the first reading from the Bible.
From Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things that present and present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Alan. Everybody knows what a midlife crisis is, right? All kinds of things can precipitate a midlife crisis, but basically it comes at that point when you begin to realize that you're not young anymore. And that makes a change. At the office, people used to talk about that promising young employee. But nowadays, you notice that when they talk about the promising young employee, they're not talking about you anymore. They're talking about somebody else. And so we do crazy things like go out and buy that red convertible or take up skydiving or something else to make sure that we're still young when we know we aren't. We don't hear about it nearly as much, but there are moments also that are kind of the opposite of the midlife crisis. There are times when we say, life is good. And we all have those moments too. This is kind of the opposite of the crisis, that it's not nearly as noticed, and we don't make fun of it, but it's there and it's real. You come downstairs on Christmas morning, and there are your adult children with their children around the Christmas tree, and you survey the scene, and you think, life is good. My children got to adulthood, and I didn't kill any of them, and now their kids are growing up, and it's kind of a sign that the next generation is going to come along and take charge of things, and everything's going to be okay. Life is good. In our story about King David today, David is having one of those life is good moments. I don't know if people back in the ancient days had midlife crises. I don't know if they lived long enough to have midlife crises. But David's having a moment where the troubles have kind of parted for a little while, and he looks back and reflects on life a little bit. I'm guessing that David is about 40 years old at this point. That's kind of a guess, but that's my guess. And that's kind of interesting because that's often the time when we have our midlife crises. But 40 is a nice round number, you know, and that sort of gives you an incentive to think about things, to think about where life has taken you and how it's been with you in your life. John Dickerson on Friday, one of the hosts of the CBS Morning News show, turned 50 on Friday, I think, and he did a little essay on life. It was his life is good moment. So David reflects on his life. He has come from being a shepherd boy to being the king of all Israel. He has consolidated these 12 tribes and beaten back, at least for the time being, their enemies, the Philistines. He's established a capital city for this new nation, and he has made for himself a new palace, and life is good. Now, David knows that it's not just through his own efforts that all of this stuff happened. David is always aware of God's hand in his life. And he understands that it's God who brought him from the pasture to the palace. He understands that God has been with him. And so his life is good moment is also a moment of humility and gratitude. And for David, it goes a little bit like this. God has been so good to me, I should do something for God. I live in this nice new palace. I'm going to make God a palace also. I'm going to make God a house to dwell in. I'm going to make God a temple. And so he talks over his idea with the prophet Nathan. And Nathan is one of these guys who just seems to have a special closeness with God. He is in the same mold as Moses and the old prophet Samuel. And the prophets in the Bible seem like when they speak, it's like God speaking. They get messages from God, and they deliver those messages to the people. So Nathan's reply to David's idea is that God says this: what do you mean you're going to make me a house? There's nothing that you can do to repay me for all that I have done. Absolutely nothing that you can do to repay me. I brought you out of being a kid on the pasture all the way to being the prince of the people. I helped you defeat your enemies, and moreover, I will be with you always. How are you going to do something to repay that? Moreover, he says, I'm going to make you a house. I'm going to make you a dynasty, so that your children will continue to ascend to the throne of Israel and Judah, and your kingdom will be established. This is not a fly-by-night kind of thing. Your kingdom will endure and be established. And David responds with great humility, who am I, O Lord God, that you should do this for me? For you are great, O God, and there is no other God like you. David responds with this kind of humility and gratitude, knowing that God has done all these things for him. We have crises in life, and we have times when we have this life is good moment. And we have times when we reflect on where we've been. And sometimes we reflect on where God has taken us. Tommy was a school time friend of mine. We went to Sunday school and we played ball together. But somewhere around the ninth grade, Tommy's life seemed to go off onto another track, and he seemed bent on self-destruction. We graduated, and I left town to do my own thing, and Tommy became an alcoholic. He went through about three wives and I don't know how many jobs. I kind of lost track of Tommy until 2006, when Mary and I went back to Louisiana to work on Hurricane Katrina reconstruction, and we went to my hometown and looked up Tommy. And Tommy was having a life is good moment. He was living with a woman who was very good to him, although she told my wife that she was never going to marry him because he was too big a risk. He had found Jesus at a Pentecostal church, had sobered up, and things were kind of looking okay. He had an insurance business, and he was a part-time alligator rancher. Yes, they raise alligators just like other people raise cows. And he laughed a lot. But Mary, who is more keen on these things than I am, says he laughs too loud. He laughs like he's covering up pain. And so we went out to check on the alligators, and Tommy talked about his regrets, about not seeing his children grow up, about getting older and all the years in his life that were wasted. And yet he said, God has been with me. Now, how can that be? How can a person whose life has been just one colossal train wreck say, God has been with me? Tommy said, well, I'm still alive, aren't I? So maybe so. Maybe God is not there in our lives to make things go smoothly. Maybe God is there to help us get through the tough times. We have a metaphor for life that we use a lot. We sometimes say that life is a journey, and I kind of like that metaphor. Life is a journey that takes us kind of from one place to the next. Life has its ups and its downs. It has its times of crisis and its times when we say life is good. But if there is a journey of life, there is also a journey of faith. And faith is also like a journey. Faith is not something that you just have or you don't have. Faith is also a journey. It goes with us through its own ups and downs, through its times of joy and its times of crisis. And so we look at faith also as a journey. When I was in Hornell, one of the things that we would do with new members was to give them a sheet of paper and say, draw a line across the paper. This line is a timeline. This line is your life. From one point when you were born to another point, which is the present point. And we invited people to divide the line up into approximately four segments and said, okay, what was going on in your life during each one of those segments? And people would talk about their childhood and childhood faith, which is different than adult faith. And moms would talk about childbirth and what a holy and God-filled moment that was. People would talk about moving and the crises that that occasioned, and then finding a new church and realizing that they had found a new home. Faith is also its own journey, and it takes us through times of joy, and it also has its own times of doubt and disappointment. David says, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you were mindful of us? You are great, O God, and there is no other God beside you." We respond with faith, with gratitude, and with humility to where God has taken us through life. If there is a journey of faith, there is also a journey of faithfulness, which is basically our response to what God has done in our lives, for God's leading us through the good times and through the difficult times. Faithfulness is really how we live our lives right now. And once again, David's life is the kind of example for us to look at. David has always felt some kind of call from God to be something else. We remember the story of when the old prophet Samuel came when he was a little boy to his home and anointed his head with oil for a destiny that was yet to unfold. And David has always sensed this sense of call to be something else. And those of us who know the story know that that's leading eventually to being the king of all Israel. But that's not just something that David gets to sit back and wait to happen. David has to live this out all the time, even years and years before he becomes the king. He has to act with nobility. He has to act with fairness. He has to do justice. He has to do all these things. He can't just wait to become king and do that. He has to do that in the now, in the situations that are difficult and trying and dangerous. He has to live with this kind of sense of faithfulness before God. His life is going to live like that. And so the stories of David, even before he becomes king, are stories about how he manages to do that. Now, David doesn't always succeed in this. Next week, we're going to meet Bathsheba. And maybe that's David's midlife crisis. I never thought about that. Maybe it is. But anyway, this is a story that proves that David is not some kind of superhuman guy. David is a guy with faults, and he's going to really mess things up. And we'll see how that works out in his life. So through the good times, through the difficult times, through the things we do that are right, and through the things we do that we really, really mess our lives up, God works through them all, and we try to live faithful to God. Each of us in our lives is on a journey. May that journey of life for you also be a journey of faith as you realize that God is walking with you. And it, may it also be a journey of faithfulness, for we walk with God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you walk with us and guard our lives. We thank you for leading us through the good times and through the trials and the difficult times. May we also live lives of faithfulness, always trusting in you. Amen.
Will the youth and adults who are going on the Senior High Work Project please come forward at this time? You can stand in front of me. You don't have to hide behind me. Everyone wants to see your pretty faces. One week from today, we embark on an adventure that will bring us closer to people and situations that might be very different from our everyday lives. Together, we will serve where we are asked to serve. Together, we will use our strength and determination to show love to our brothers and sisters who live in New York City. Will you pledge to be faithful workers, eager and willing to learn from the people you meet? If so, please say we will. The Bible teaches us that all humankind are our neighbors. As you serve, you will also build relationships with these neighbors, each other, and with the people who are helping you. Will you seek to learn from each other, be patient, and open to God's Spirit in your time with each other? If so, please say we will. Advisors, will you serve with dedication and encouragement, supporting each other as together you become a mission team that reflects God's peace? If so, please say we will. Youth, will you respect your advisors as they work to care for you and support each other as you connect your hearts with God's kingdom? If so, please say
We will.
Congregation, will you pray for this mission team as they represent Gates Presbyterian Church in service in New York City and be ready to hear about their experiences when they return? If so, please say, we will. Let's pray together. Loving God, who journeys with us in all times and all places, be with our team as we journey to and serve in New York City. Help this group of youth and adults to recognize that your spirit is alive and active in New York City. Fill us with energy, determination, and humility so that we can serve how Jesus served and love the people we meet the way Jesus loves them. Keep us safe and in good health. Open us to the wonders of your love so that we can share your shalom with everyone we meet. May your grace be ever with us, and may our week of ministry glorify you. Amen.
As we go into our time of prayer, we call your attention to the concerns that are listed in the bulletin, and we ask if anyone has joys or concerns that they'd like to share with us this morning. I saw a hand up over there, Tom.
Irene and I would just like to ask for prayers for our daughter Trina and her family, granddaughter Elena and son-in-law Nelson. They're going to be going to El Salvador to visit his mother and relatives, and so they'll be there for 2 weeks, so we pray for safe travel.
Being Charcola, I have a laundry list of prayers and concerns for my parents and Sue's parents, all 85 and older. Sue's father took a spill Friday night trying to cut down a bush. He's now in observation and strong. My mother is facing back surgery on Monday. Father is in skilled nursing, Rob Roy Charcola. He's dealing with dementia. And Sue's mother is just needs overall prayers for everything she's dealing with. Thanks.
Joanne Vander, I want to thank all of you for your prayers and cards and calls. You don't know how much it meant to me and means to me. And as Reverend Kilgore said today, God is really with you through the good and the bad. I really felt that through the last month. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tracy Berkovich. Prayers for Samantha tomorrow, getting her wisdom teeth removed. And also for my mom, she'll find out this week. She's going to be facing potentially another knee surgery, so prayers for her as we enter another surgical caring.
I'm Gordon Chapman. My heart is warm this morning because I have two grandchildren with me and my son Micah from Colorado Springs.
Andrea Unson, prayers for my mother. She's gone through some testing and has cancer in her lungs, and now the doctors need to get together and form a treatment and a process for her course of action.
And what's your mom's name?
Maria Inchi.
We also want to welcome into our midst the Dennis family, who are long time I don't want to say how long, but Dennis's family has been in this church for a long time. They were married in the old church and are going to be celebrating their 51st anniversary next month. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Eternal God, you watch over all our days and years, and you guard our going out and our coming in with your ever-present love. We begin our prayers with intercessions for those who have lost loved ones. And we pray especially for the Gutowski family, for the DeSero family. Hold them in your care and comfort them with the knowledge of your love. We remember also friends and neighbors and family members who are ill or in pain, who face serious medical diagnoses or the ravaging of old age. We lift up Ione and Hannah, Marge, Joanne. We pray for Maria, for all those who are facing trouble in health. We pray for neighbors who bear heavy burdens, financial concerns, employment, problems in relationships, mental illnesses. Bring your healing and guiding and strengthening presence to those for whom we pray. We rejoice also in good news shared with us of anniversaries, of the visits of grandchildren, of thanksgiving for prayers and cards and thoughts. We rejoice in being part of a community where we can share the good news with one another. We pray for victims of natural disasters, especially wildfires in the west and floods in the south. Comfort those who have lost loved ones or property or livelihood. Be with refugees from war and fighting. We give thanks for aid workers, medical personnel, and those who work to bring an end to conflict. Bring to our weary world your promised day of peace. We give thanks for this church and all who support it with their gifts of time and talent and treasure. Be with our members who are finishing their retreat at Stony Point. We're glad for opportunities to live beyond the barriers that so often separate us from those of other faith traditions and cultural circles. We ask your blessing on the Senior High Work Project in New York City. Give our youth new experiences, new relationships, and a new awareness of what it means to help our neighbors. Be with Pastor Melissa in her time of renewal and learning. May your spirit be with us in our ministry together to enliven our worship, to enrich our fellowship, to strengthen our mission to the world. Use our prayers, O God, according to your will and your wise purpose for us. We close with the prayer your Son taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship as we bring our gifts to God. Who are we, O God, and what is our family that you have been with us through our journey of life? You are great, O Lord God, and there is no other beside you. We bring these gifts in humility and in gratitude, asking that by the power of your Spirit they may be used to build up the Church of Christ, to tell the good news, and to do the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Go out into the world in peace, honor all people, love, serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.